I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, Texas faces a long-term water crisis with rapid population growth, reoccurring drought, and expanding industrial demand like data centers. State planners are forecasting a water shortfall as demand increases and water supplies are expected to decline because of aquifer depletion and reservoir sedimentation. And later on The Source, the city of San Antonio is looking at a $158 million deficit for the coming budget. Mayor Gina Ortiz Jones is proposing cuts to city funding, city job and wage freezes, ending Fiesta subsidies, and city department reductions and fee hikes. Mayor Jones joins us to give us an update and to take your calls. This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Texas is confronting a growing water crisis driven by drought, rapid population growth, and the expanding demands of water-intensive industries like data centers. Few places illustrate the consequences more clearly than Corpus Christi. The coastal city came dangerously close to exhausting its municipal water supply after years of declining reservoir levels, failed efforts to develop new sources, and continued expansion by refineries and petrochemical plants. Reported by Inside Climate News, they found that industrial facilities consume roughly half of the region's water. Some of the largest companies also benefited from years of discounted utility rates, while residents and commercial customers absorbed most of the system's cost. The reporting raises broader questions about whether Texas communities are promising scarce water to industry without adequately protecting residents or preparing for worsening drought. Joining us to discuss what went wrong in Corpus Christi, what it could mean for Texas, and the overall water forecast for Texas is Inside Climate News reporter Dylan Bedore. And Dylan, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having me, David.
So what does the story of Corpus Christi tell us about the broader weaknesses and the way that Texas plans for water use and population growth and development and industrial expansion?
Well, I think there's two big things that it tells us. One of them is the aspect of planning for climate change in a way, or really just considering the possibility that droughts will get worse. Because our water planning methods don't do that, even as droughts in Corpus Christi and in many parts of the state continue to get worse. That means that the modeling that we use to assess the safety and stability of our water sources is based on figures that we've seen, you know, consistently exceeded by natural events, kind of outpacing what we're modeling. That's one thing. And the other thing I think the planning story of Corpus Christi tells us is that Corpus Christi, like Texas, was planning on building more water supplies that it said that it needed. That was part of its growth plan, and it didn't get that done. And Texas is in a similar position where when we look out to the future and we say, you know, we have such and such water deficit by 2050 or over the next 20 or 50 years, those plans assume that we're building water projects to keep up with those, that we'll expand the supply. So I think what Corpus Christi shows us is that a degree of overconfidence in our ability to build our way out of this can lead, you know, to a pretty tense situation if we don't actually live up to our plans.
Our phone lines are open. We want to hear from our listeners about their concerns about the water crisis in Texas and what's happening in Corpus and our own water situation here in San Antonio area. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Well, looking at Corpus Christi, it's one thing to plan for building new water sources, like they were talking about ocean desal there, but also new reservoirs and all sorts of measures. And then the question also becomes, who pays for it? And what was happening in Corpus on that?
Yeah, well, so last week there was a hearing in Austin regarding this point that you just raised, because some of the largest water users in the region had been paying a very discounted rate, essentially kind of an economic incentive package for maybe up to 20 years, at least 10 years. And a lot of that burden was falling on the residential and the commercial water users, small businesses. And restaurants. And those rates were designed at one point to attract and draw businesses in. But, 20 years later, the businesses are still here and locals were subsidizing their water costs. Now, Corpus Christi is very complicated because it's unique in that it is a regional water provider. So it doesn't just provide to Corpus Christi, it provides to tons of industries and other cities across a 7-county region. It's quite a web, but to your point, also on seawater desalination, one of the biggest complaints that locals had was that, they would also end up paying rate increases and picking up a large part of the tab for this kind of high-tech water project when it was explicitly driven by the industrial interests and their plans to continue expanding operations. So the question of who pays for water, and how are we going to pay for it, I think is one that seems to it's going to get a lot of attention and discussion in next year's legislative session, I believe.
Yeah, just to fill in some blanks on that lawsuit that you talked about, a $100 million lawsuit. 3 years ago, Corpus Christi doubled the water rate for those companies after public outcry and public organization. And then the companies, including Valero and Citgo, they protested to state regulators, and that led to this legal battle that is coming to a head. And so these are industries like petrochemical industries, typically in Corpus Christi. Is that really the big water user?
It is petrochemicals and refineries. And the big water user of these facilities is the cooling towers, which is, y'all see the steam coming out of the refineries when you drive by. Those are cooling towers. And they can evaporate, 1 to 3,000 gallons of water per minute to keep those refineries cool and from melting down. So that's where a lot of that water goes.
There's also a lithium refining plant that for Elon Musk corporations that was relatively new, and that was given the go ahead even as these water realities became apparent.
That's true. And I don't, as far as I know, the lithium refinery is not on Corpus Christi water. It does groundwater, which is another complicated thing because if you are a big facility and you want to drill your own wells and do groundwater, in many cases, you don't have to report to anyone what you're doing, and nobody knows how much water you're using, which is the case out there. But they're trying to build data centers out there. They're trying to build ammonia plants, all kinds of things that need water. And this is the wall they're coming up against now.
Governor Greg Abbott has been very critical of Corpus Christi. He sees these industries as essential for the state of Texas, and he's been blaming Corpus Christi officials for not solving this problem.
A lot of frustration with leaders there. I mean, this problem, they saw it coming for years. I mean, they knew it was coming when they gave the green light to all these big industrial expansions over the last decade, which really, came downstream from fracking. They said, we know there would be a water shortage, so we're going to build a desalination plant. That was the plan. And the two things that went wrong there was that they didn't build the desalination plant and the drought got worse than anybody had planned for. So,
And also
for something like
the community organized, which is an amazing, great story.
the community organized.
Yeah, we saw a lot of
About
people
that.
coming together and they challenged the city council and they really made their voices heard.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this became the kind of the heart of the local conversation for the last year or two at least and more. And going into the next election, Corpus Christi elects a new city council in November. This is really going to be the heart of the issue like never before.
All right,
So I think
we
it's
got to take a break here. So we're going to continue our conversation. We're going to get Bashar on the air with his question. You can call in 833-877-8255. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Texas faces an increasingly uncertain future about water. We have more and more data centers that are threatening to put an unprecedented demand on the state's dwindling water supply, as the cost of securing water in coming decades totals nearly $174 billion, more than double the previous estimate. The Texas Water Development Board projects the state's existing water supplies will shrink by 10% over the next 50 years. It foresees potential shortages amounting to the annual use of more than 21 million households by 2080. We're joined by Dylan Bedore. He is a reporter for Inside Climate News. He has been covering the water issue like no one else. And you can call him with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Let's go to Bashar on the phones. And Bashar, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I'll make it quick. When I had a business that was making a lot of money, I was spending, you know, more than I spend now that I retired and sold the business. So that tells me most likely our, well, we can, there's nothing we can do about nature. You know, when the weather doesn't want to rain, it doesn't want to rain. But I believe we do have a huge consumption problem that's compounding the lack of water coming down from the sky. For example, I know for a fact, so a friend of mine who was an avid camper bragged one day that he would take a shower in his, you know, camper with only 1 gallon, because, you know, they're limited, right? The problem is when he goes home, he probably would use like 20, 30, maybe 40 gallons of water to take the same shower. When we turn our faucets on to shave or to wash our faces, we turn that faucet full flow when we don't need it. I'm not saying that, you know, we are conscientiously doing all of these things, but if there is a way to launch a campaign to educate the public on the subconscious, you know, habits we have, where we are really wasting a resource that we know is fickle. I was in LA, I lived in LA. The first time I went to jury duty, I went to, you know, to wash my hands in the bathroom. And you know what? They had those faucets that would immediately give you hot water and they would shut off immediately when you take your hands away. So they wanted to save on gas. There's a lot of things that we can do to basically reduce our consumption in order to combat the lack of water.
Bashar, thank you so much for your phone call. These submarine showers that are very tight on water availability. It's one thing to ask people to take these water-saving showers, but at the same time, are we going to be making those same requests of these major water users like data centers and petroleum facilities? But also, we have to think about like how much water we use for maintaining green lawns. When you see the overall impact of watering lawns has on our water use, it's astounding. Dylan?
Yeah, for sure. I agree with all of that. Like Bashar said, I mean, the attitude in general is going to have to change a lot as far as our relationship with water. As he mentioned, it's pretty much viewed as a cheap, almost free, limitless commodity that we have here. And there are a lot of ways to do it better. However, you know, when it comes to showering, I mean, there are actually the big users are really big users. And people can cut back their showers and they should a lot, but it's not going to really even put a dent in the usage numbers that we see from the big users. For example, so in Corpus Christi, 300,000 residents of Corpus Christi use about 13.5 million gallons of water per day. And a single plastics manufacturing facility also uses that much, which is made by Exxon and the Saudi Basic Industries Corporation, uses 13.5 million gallons per day. Agriculture also is the biggest user. And people say, well, you know, we need food. Obviously, you can't crack down on agriculture. Yes, true. But, you know, the vast majority of the water used in agriculture is for hay and sorghum and things that go to make cattle feed primarily. So that really comes down to the diets that we eat and the water. You know, we're probably using more water on a high beef diet than we are in long showers in many cases. Watering our lawns, like you said, I mean, people have to realize that that is treated drinking water that was produced through fairly complex infrastructure and treated to a potable standard. And then people just leave their sprinklers on overnight and let most of it run down into the street. And, you know, it's we're going to have to wait, it seems, until we run out and realize what it means to be without that, to kind of undergo that paradigm shift that would lead us to value it in a much more critical way.
Let's go to Bennett on the phones. And Bennett, you're on the air. And Bennett, go ahead.
I was told recently on very good authority that 15 years ago, the legislature in Austin prepared a study, and that study showed exactly what's happening today. And that study was put on the shelf and forgotten about.
All right, Bennett, thank you for your call. Let me. We're short on time, so I want to get to Dylan to get his response.
I don't know exactly what that is, but I bet that's happened at least 10 or 15 times. I mean, everybody has known exactly where we're going today. And often the solutions involve spending a lot of money and putting restrictions on growth. So in many cases, they were just chosen not to be enacted.
Recently, I reported on how there was a hearing in Austin about water use in data centers, and that very few of these data centers provided any information about their water use. They're not transparent, and also they may make one claim, but they're not really investigated to find out that's actually how much water they're using. Should we really be holding these data centers more accountable for their water use?
Well, probably yes. However, I'd point out that that's probably the same with any kind of business or industrial facility also that uses water. It's not, you know, they won't just tell you how much they use. That's sort of business proprietary information in Texas. Data centers are just another kind of large water user in the mix here. By themselves, they're not necessarily tremendous. However, Texas is getting more than any other state, so collectively they add up to quite a demand. And yeah, it's pretty opaque. And in the end, you know, if they want to drill wells and pump their own groundwater in an area where it's not regulated, then no one's going to stop them.
And that seems to be something that could be addressed by the legislature. The rule of capture in this new age, does it still, you know, is it still the right way to go?
Well, that's really a like fundamental rethinking of groundwater laws that are at the basis of a lot of stuff here. Changing the rule of capture would require a spectacular legislative effort. And, you know, I mean, interest would just come out of the woodwork to have their say in whatever would replace that. So I would say that's highly unlikely that we'll see that change, except in perhaps an incremental sort of stepwise way, or maybe locally here and there. Something, we empower groundwater conservation districts to themselves enact some higher level of regulation, but in many ways we're stuck. I mean, groundwater is a private property right in Texas. You drill it and pump it and it's yours. And
yeah, but you're lowering the water table for everyone else.
Yeah, that's true.
And then so farmers and residents and people who have wells, who have used that well forever, now say it's they can't get water, and the rule of capture is like, too bad, we've got the biggest straw. I mean, we're seeing in East Texas, people are organizing as well, like we saw in Corpus. They're saying we don't want our water going to the big cities because of their wasteful habits. So this is a continuing conversation. Texas Public Radio is dedicated to covering water issues, how complicated it's going to get, and how we should prepare. Dylan Bedore from Inside Climate News, thank you so much. I really appreciate your reporting.
Thanks for having me, David.
We're going to take a break for our pledge drive, and we'll be right back in the second half with Mayor Gina Ortiz-Jones. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Jen White from 1A. When the world convulses in fits of violence and tragedy as it seems to do regularly, there are very few places where we, the people, can convene in a deliberate way and have a national conversation whose goal is simply to make space for people to process. It's a sacred space that doesn't exist of its own volition. It requires resources, time, effort, patience, creativity, not just from the show staff and the host, but from you. You're the person who can donate now to keep this space alive and growing. Because you listen and get tangible, valuable information on a daily basis, please take a moment to make your donation today. Here's how.
And you can pledge your support to Texas Public Radio right now, calling in at 800-622-8977. You can go online to tpr.org, or you can go through the TPR app. You can hit the red button and you can click through and find a level that's right for your budget. Also pick some snazzy thank you gifts. It's all part of how we keep Texas Public Radio strong. And so this is the Texas Public Radio Summer Fundraising Drive. Every day, TPR informs, it connects, it serves South Central Texas through local reporting, thoughtful conversation. We're on the breaking news like we were last week with the extreme flooding that we had. Your sustaining gift helps us ensure that TPR can remain a trusted source of news, independent news, conversations, and connections for years to come. Become a sustaining member at tpr.org or through the TPR app, or give us a call at 800-622-8977. With me now in the studio is Rebecca Cavan, TPR's Development Director. And Rebecca.
Dave, it's great to be here with you. You know, this is, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but this is only our second summer fundraising drive. The first time we did this was last year after federal funding was lost. We came on air to ask for the community's support in replacing those dollars. Those are dollars that have to be replaced every year. And so we're here again asking for your help to raise $250,000. Each of those dollars that are donated right now are being matched dollar for dollar. And we are now down to about $195,000 left to raise.
We're working our way through it. So they took away federal funding for Corporation for Public Broadcasting was taken away. Funds for NPR stations and PBS stations. And I think it's up to listeners to try to puzzle out why that happened in this era of we have in America today under this administration. Why did they go after public broadcasting? Why do they go after NPR stations? Is there something here that they don't like, that they don't want you to have? I don't know. That's up for you to answer. But I think everyone should have a thought about that. And it's critically important that we figure out a way to keep public radio strong, not allow that that move by the administration to somehow weaken public radio. We want to come back stronger and show that this is a public good and we're giving people the news and information that they want and that they deserve, that's necessary for them in these times. And if Texas Public Radio matters to you, now is the time to help replace these federal funds that we lost. Support our summer fundraising drive at tpr.org through the TPR app or give us a call at 800-622-8977.
You know, one of the things that we have seen throughout this year is the community has responded to that loss, and the response has been tremendous. And we're counting on that response to continue to be tremendous because that's what the moment calls for. If we want to continue to provide the resources that we know you are relying on every day, That's now coming from everybody who makes use of it, who tunes in, who follows us through our many social feeds or attends events that we have. All of that comes to you for free, but it costs something to make it. So if it's a time you can pitch in, do your part to help support this programming for the future and for this community. Call right now, 800-622-8977.
We were just having that important conversation about water. If it's not there, you're going to miss it. You're going to be, oh, what happened to the water? Like, I turned the faucet on, didn't, nothing came out. Don't let that happen to public radio. When you turn on the dial and then nothing comes out, okay, we're not going to let that happen, especially with your support. 800-622-8977. This is Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Support for TPR comes from UT San Antonio, offering degree programs and research focused on workforce development, student success, and health innovation across Texas. UTSA.edu. UT San Antonio, the University of Ambition.